السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين گزشتہ جمعہ کے خطبے میں
Hazur says that in the last week's khutbah Jumma, Friday's sermon, I inculcated the members of the Jamaat of the responsibilities of an Ahmadi in light of the Shirah-e-Bayt, the conditions of the Bayt of the Pledge of Allegiance. I explained each condition from extracts of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, on whom be peace. It is only through reading these extracts and studying the writing, the literature of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, reflecting and pondering upon that, that one can discern that the promised Messiah on whom be peace desired to infuse the true teachings of Islam within us, and by reforming our doctrinal views and our practices desired to inculcate revolutionary changes within us. For without this, that immense and great purpose cannot be achieved, which was the purpose of the advent of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, and which the age was in dire need of, and stands in need for today. It is through this that nearness to Allah the Almighty can be acquired. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has stated that God the Exalted willed for this movement, and He has disclosed this upon me, that taqwa is lacking. There are some who are trapped openly in shameless acts and lead a life of wickedness and immorality. There are others whose acts are adulterated with impure ways. However, they are unaware that if even a small amount of poison enters good food, the entire food becomes poisoned. There are yet others who are involved in minor and small sins, such as pretense and showing off, the branches of which are small and delicate. Although they presume that on the surface they are greatly pious and righteous, yet they are engrossed in displaying pretense, haughtiness and artificiality, things which can only be seen by those who have the eye of deep discernment and insight, microscopic vision. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states that now Allah the Almighty has willed that the world should be presented of a life of purity and taqwa, that is righteousness and the fear of Allah, It is for this purpose that he has established this movement. Allah desires purity, and his will is to form a pure Jamaat or community. Hazur says, as Allah the Almighty has established this Jamaat, he desired that those who enter the Jamaat should be especially purified by him so that a community of purified people can be formed. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, desired that every single one of us uses that deep eye of insight and discernment to analyze our own selves, to carry out a self-accountability. Where you rectify your doctrinal beliefs, there you should also strive to reform even the most minor practical shortcomings and deeds, and look over your actions. It is through this microscopic discernment and insight that enables a person to magnify minor mistakes and make them appear as major. For this is what a microscope does. It magnifies minor objects and makes them appear big. Therefore, in order to realize your sins, your mistakes, and your weaknesses, we need to utilize that microscope through which we can undertake a self-accountability. It is with this approach that we need to account for our own selves and self-reflect. Thus, our claim to be Ahmadis and the Jamaat or the community established by the promised Messiah alayhi salam, on whom be peace. This claim and this Jamaat are not ordinary. Neither is our claim of being Ahmadi an ordinary claim, and nor is this Jamaat an ordinary Jamaat. Allah the Almighty desired to purify the members of this Jamaat and to form a pure Jamaat or community. And for this, he sent the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Every Ahmadi needs to keep this in view, that a life of taqwa and purity that it is the models and examples of lives of purity and taqwa that have the potential to bring about revolutionary change. This revolutionary change is linked to the rectification of our beliefs and doctrines and reforming our deeds and our actions. Simply rectifying your beliefs and doctrines is insufficient unless you reform your deeds and actions alongside that. Unless every single one of us displays great concern for our deeds and actions. That is, we should be concerned about what our beliefs are, and we should be concerned about which deeds we should place greater emphasis upon, as I read from the extracts of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, that we need to give great emphasis to striving to perform even the smallest acts of virtue and goodness. This is what the promised Messiah alayhi salam has stated, explaining further regarding doctrinal beliefs and one's state of practical actions and a state of his reality. The promised Messiah on whom be peace has stated, inculcating the members of the Jamaat, he says the following: the sum total of our faith. In other words, he says, what is our belief? Hazrat says here, the correct beliefs will be explained, and alongside this, the deeds that we need to perform that are associated with those beliefs have also been expounded. So the promised Messiah on whom be peace states, the sum total of our faith is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. There is none worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. Our doctrine and belief that we hold in this worldly life, which with the grace of Almighty Allah and to the ability we have been granted, we live our lives and will lead our lives through, is the following: that Hazrat Sayyidina, the Master and the Chosen One, The guide, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is Khatamun Nabiyyin, the seal of all prophets, and Khair al-Mursaleen, the best of all the messengers, through whose hand the faith and the religion has been perfected. And that blessing has reached its perfect state, which when a person acquires and follows, can reach God the Exalted. And we have firm faith and certainty upon this belief, that the Holy Quran is Khatamul Kutub, the best of all the holy books, and not a dot or a word can be removed or added from its guidelines, from its instructions, and from its commandments. And now there can be no revelation from God Almighty which subtracts from the commandments of Allah the Almighty, or cancels it, or changes even a single commandment in any way. If anybody believes that there can be changes or subtractions, then in our view, then he is not a part of the community of the believers, and he is a disbeliever and out of the fold of the true believing community. It is our firm belief that even the lowest stage of Sirat al-Mustaqim, the right and straight path, cannot be achieved without obedience to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is impossible without this. To the extent that the highest stages of righteousness and nobility cannot be achieved without full and perfect obedience to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not even a point of excellence, nobility and honor can be acquired without true, perfect and complete following and submission to our Prophet, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Without this, this is impossible. Whatever we ascertain is as a reflection and in subordination to him. We also have firm belief in that those who are righteous and pious, who are blessed with being in the company of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and perfected the stage of relationship and nobility, obtaining their excellences will only be also in reflection and subordination to them. There are certain blessings they obtain which now we cannot obtain. As he says, in other words, those who lived in the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are certain blessings they acquired which we can no longer acquire. For example, they saw him and stayed in his company. Then the promised Messiah on whom be peace states, the five aspects upon which Islam has been based are our beliefs. That God whose word, in other words the Holy Quran, we have been instructed to hold fast to, we are holding fast to. And just as Hazrat Farooq radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, said, the words Hasbuna Kitabullah emanate from our tongues, which is the Quran is sufficient for us. And just like Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, may Allah be pleased with her, when there is any contradiction between the Quran and the Hadith, we give preference to the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran has priority over the Hadith. In particular, those statements which are self-contradictory within themselves. We also have firm faith that there is no God except Allah, and that the Holy Prophet, the Chosen One, may Allah be pleased with him, is the Messenger of Allah and the Khatamul Anbiya, the seal of all the Prophets. We have firm faith that the Day of Judgment is true, that the Day of Resurrection is a reality, the Day of Accountability is true, Heaven is a reality, as is also Hell. We have firm faith that whatever Allah the Exalted has stated in the Holy Quran, and whatever our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has stated, in accordance with the previous statement, are all true. We have firm certainty that whichever person subtracts even one thing or adds even one thing to the Sharia or law of Islam, or tries to annul any of the commandments or add anything to it, as we says, in other words, they change things wherever they so require, they start deciding for themselves what is lawful and unlawful. So whoever lays a foundation for this innovation is without faith and turns away from Islam. We advise our Jamaat that with a sincere and true heart, they should have firm faith in this La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. There is none worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. They should die in the state of belief upon this, and they should believe in all the prophets and all the books, the truth of whom can be established by the Holy Quran. And fasting, prayer, zakat, hajj, And all the obligations ordained by the Holy Quran and the Holy Prophet ﷺ should be considered as obligations. And all forbidden things should be considered as forbidden things. And one should firmly follow the true and correct Islam. In short, all those matters which the previous holy and saintly people had a united consensus of opinion upon, and which according to the agreed opinion of the Ahle Sunnah is called Islam. To believe in all of this is necessary. We bring the heavens and earth into witness regarding this, that this exactly is our religion. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam then explaining their belief that apart from Allah the Almighty, all else is mortal. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam explained that Hazrat Isa, Jesus peace be upon him, was also a human being. He was a Nabi Allah, a Prophet of Allah. Thus, after a certain age, he also passed away. Indeed, Allah the Almighty saved him from the cross. And after being wounded on the cross, he was saved. Then he migrated, and in Kashmir, he passed away. In any case, regarding the belief in the death of Hazrat Isa, of Jesus peace be upon him, the Promised Messiah on whom be peace states, I believe the Messiah, Jesus peace be upon him, to have died. And I believe this with certainty and firmness of faith. And I am definite in belief in his passing away. And why should I not believe this to be so, when my Lord, my Master, in his dear book, his noble Holy Quran, has counted him amongst the dead people? And in the entire Holy Quran, we do not find a single instance where it mentions that he will be given an extraordinary life, or that he will return. In fact, the Holy Quran only states that he has passed away, and then that is the end of it. Therefore, to believe Jesus, peace be upon him, to be alive, and then to return at a certain time to the world, is not only contrary to the revelation I received from Allah the Almighty, but in fact, I believe this doctrine to be false in light of the arguments and logic based on the Holy Quran. Hazur says, in other words, the clear-cut, definite and open verses of the Holy Quran, in light of all of them, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam believed Jesus, peace be upon him, to have passed away, and he believed that considering him to be alive is false. The Promised Messiah on whom be peace has also stated this, that from a doctrinal perspective, there is no difference between you and other Muslims. They claim to believe in the pillars of Islam, and so do you. As all Ahmadis claim to believe in all the pillars of Islam, so too do the other Muslims verbally profess that they believe in all those pillars of Islam. Hazur says, to the extent that with relation to the death of Hazrat Isa, or Jesus, peace be upon him, after the advent of the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, there is a segment amongst the Muslims who are starting to believe in this very concept. There was a concept of a bloody Mahdi, a Mahdi who would come, kill, and then reform. The viewpoint regarding this is also changing. In the Jummah, before last Jummah, or in the Friday sermon, before the last Friday sermon, in which I related some incidents of the companions of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, one of the companions asked Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Batalvi, that have you rejected the concept of the bloody Mahdi? You say one thing in public, but yet I have heard that you reject the concept of the bloody Mahdi. Yet when the Promised Messiah alayhi salam says there will be no bloody Mahdi coming, you raise objection to this. So that Maulvi Hussain Batalvi replied that, go away. If you want to pledge allegiance to the Promised Messiah, you can do that. Leave me to my beliefs, whatever they may be. So in stubbornness and in audacity, when they stand before the Promised Messiah Islam, this is what they will say, that the bloody Mahdi and a Messiah will come. But there are many Muslims whose views have now changed to the contrary to this. So therefore, with the coming of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, amongst many Muslims, there has been doctrinal rectification. In fact, Hazrat Musleh Maud, the second Khalifa, in his Friday sermon, his khutbah, approximately 76 years ago, on the subject of the rectification of doctrines and the reformation of actions and deeds. In fact, he did not deliver just one Friday sermon, rather he delivered a long series of sermons upon this topic. There are many sermons within this series, and he said to the extent that amongst the well-educated people in India, you'll perhaps find 1 out of 10 who believes in the death of the Messiah. Similarly, with reference to the question of the abrogation of the verses of the Holy Quran, generally speaking, we find that people do not mention nowadays that there has been verses of the Quran that have been nullified in their view. It is not stressed with that emphasis. Hazrat Muslihimo, the second Khalifa, has proved that after the advent of the promised Messiah, noon be peace, numerous beliefs that other Muslims place great stress upon, they no longer stress it as much, and they do not emphasize it as much. Either they believe in those concepts or they remain quiet. And we find this today as well. Some ulama and scholars, amongst whom also are included Arabic scholars, openly speak out against the jihadi and extremist organizations. They even say about the concept of jihad itself that the jihad of today is incorrect. Thus, this rectification in doctrines and viewpoints, which previously they considered to be the fundamental beliefs, occurred after the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, made his claim. And it came about amongst the well-educated and literate people who have links and connections in the world. And they say that the concept of jihad purported today is wrong. This rectification occurred after the advent of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and after he explained the true definition of jihad. This change occurred in them whether they believed in Ahmadiyyat or not. This is further proof that in terms of the doctrines and beliefs of Jamaat Ahmadiyya, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, a large proportion of the non-Ahmadis are compelled to accept and admit to these doctrines and believe in them. Now, mostly the point of contention remains in terms of the promised Messiah alayhi salam status. Is he a prophet or not? Inshallah, God enabling, this one day will also be decided. Such people do not want to comprehend and understand the general doctrines, teachings and beliefs of Jamaat Ahmadiyya, and instead adopt audacity and stubbornness. They have no arguments to provide against us. When they are rendered speechless in the face of our doctrines and true teachings, they resort to violence and bloodshed. Nowadays, this is exactly the approach we find from certain Muslim sects against Ahmadis, in particular in Pakistan, but also in other places in India. This, then, is proof that in order to rebut our doctrines and teachings, they neither have any Quranic arguments and nor do they have any intellectual arguments. When they are trapped and cornered and they have nowhere left to go, they resort to physical violence. Thus, from a doctrinal perspective, in light of arguments and logic, Ahmadis are at that level and stage when nobody can compete with them. Ahmadis who possess less knowledge, it is their responsibility that they should increase their levels of knowledge. In fact, nowadays, numerous programs on MTA such as Rahe-o-Da and others are being broadcast so that people can take maximum benefit and learn from them, and nobody falls to any inferiority complex whatsoever. In any case, the majority of Jamaat Ahmadiyya, in fact, with the grace of Almighty Allah, almost all Jamaat Ahmadiyya, except for a few, are firm in their belief and their doctrine. If there are any who are weak, then they should remember that the doctrine and belief that the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, presented and explained to us, that is the real Islam. And the non-Ahmadis are unable to rebut or refute those doctrines and beliefs with any arguments or logic. Thus, the handful of weak people should also try to infuse strength into them. There is no need to display weakness whatsoever. The promised Messiah alayhi salam, from a doctrinal and intellectual perspective, provided us with extremely strong and various literature and writings. Similarly, he has also reminded us and inculcated us greatly towards practical efforts. In terms of doctrinal and intellectual literature and its effect, as I stated, that despite not being Ahmadis, it has an impact upon non-Ahmadis. However, it is insufficient to just rectify your doctrinal beliefs. The promised Messiah alayhi salam also came to reform our actions. Until we reform our actions, there is no point whatsoever of rectifying your doctrinal beliefs, because it is practical actions that attracts non-Ahmadis to come and join the Jamaat and listen to what we have to say, or at least remain quiet. Virtuous deeds and inculcating pious reformations are a quiet form of tabligh or preaching. There are many people who came near to the Jamaat. They were prepared to take the Pledge of Allegiance, but only drifted away due to some misdeeds of Ahmadis which caused them to falter and stumble. Thus, when in the current time we are becoming distant from the time period of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, on whom be peace. Alongside the rectification of our doctrines and beliefs, we need to take great care for our actions and deeds, and there is a phenomenally critical requirement for this. Most surely we have won the battle in terms of doctrines, but if in accordance with those doctrines we do not act, if in line with those teachings we do not lead our daily lives, if we do not endeavor to implement those doctrines and beliefs upon our livelihoods, then all that will slowly and gradually remain is names, as we see amongst the majority of the Muslims. They are involved in all sorts of inappropriate acts. In terms of prayer, even if they offer their prayer, then it is only lip service. The majority are such who do not care at all about the prayers. Falsehood has become common. Now even shamelessness without hesitation or concern has become the norm amongst them. Recently a non-Ahmadi met me and he said, "It is beyond my comprehension that extremists who claim to believe in Islam, who in different areas, on the pretext of defending the honor of Islam, attack others and desire to establish Islamic governance. They attack schools. They kill innocent women and children. Yet," he says, "I went to Pakistan. I observed that in Islamabad, on one of the main roads, there was a brewery. The extremists never attack the brewery, whereas that is openly in the public. Similarly," he said, "there are TV channels in which there are inappropriate or illicit material shown. This is even shown in Pakistan and even on some Muslim channels. Nobody raises a voice against that. Nobody attacks them." Azur says, "Nonetheless, this is the practical state of those claiming to love Islam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in terms of those who brew alcohol, those who possess alcohol, those who sell alcohol, and those who drink alcohol, upon all of them he has sent his curse. They apparently endure this curse of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where there are factories of alcohol or breweries, yet they are unable to tolerate an Ahmadi reciting the Kalama, the Muslim creed. In any case, what I was stating is that we also live in this society, and the effect of this society can also impact us, so therefore we need to also be vigilant and take precautions. We need to understand the purpose of the advent of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, and give great attention and heed towards our practical state. It is only then that we can fulfill the conditions of the bid. In particular, elders need to be vigilant over youngsters and children. And youngsters also need to be careful themselves. Nowadays, the enemy enters into the homes and concocts plans to affect people's morals and is making attempts to destroy people's morals. As I stated, for example, there are TV channels which have totally transformed the concept of what morals are. In the same way, there is the internet and also other means and modes. If we do not unite and carry out a jihad, a striving against this, then our attempts to reform our deeds will be left behind and we will fall into the net of performing satanic acts. To save ourselves and protect ourselves from this, there is no other route except, as I stated, that we especially carry out a jihad, a striving, and ask for help from God the Almighty. We need to stand up together, and alongside this, we also need to attempt to seek the help and succor of God. For this, we need to supplicate to God Almighty. Only then can we safeguard ourselves. It is not enough to just say that I believe in one God. Rather, you must also develop a link with the one God, so that we can safeguard and protect ourselves from the attacks of Satan. Those attacks of Satan that has entered into our homes. Or otherwise, there is no other route to safeguard and protect yourself from the illnesses and attacks of Satan. It is said there was a student of a scholar or saintly person. He completed his education and was going to return. The scholar asked his student, "Is Satan present in the country you are returning to?" The student said surprisingly that, "Where is Satan not? Satan is everywhere." The scholar said, "Whatever you have learnt and studied from me regarding religion and regarding morality, if you start to act upon that and then Satan attacks you, what will you do?" "I will fight and compete with Satan," said the student. The scholar said, "Fine. If your attention is diverted and once again Satan attacks you, then what will you do?" He said, "Once again I will defend and fight." So twice or thrice he asked the same question, and the student answered the same. The scholar said, "If you go to a friend, and upon the doorstep there is a dog, and the dog bites you, he tries to attack you, what will you do?" The student said, "I will try to frighten him away." "And what if he attacks you again?" said the scholar. The student said, "I will do that again." The scholar said, "If this keeps going on, you will never reach your friend. Then what will you say or do?" The student said, "I will call out to my friend that come and take away this dog." The scholar said, "Satan is also like a dog of God. You need to call out to God. You need to draw the attention of God. It's only then that you can protect and safeguard yourself from the attacks of Satan. Do not fall into the illusion that I have obtained knowledge and I have attained great perception regarding moral standards. I know about what virtues are. I also offer my prayers, however they may be offered. If you remain in this illusion, then Satan will continue attacking you and you will not be able to do anything about that. Hazur says, therefore there is a need to sincerely ask for help from God Almighty. There is a need to become devoted and pure and worship God. Only then can you protect yourself and safeguard yourself from the attacks of Satan by establishing a link with God Almighty. And in order to establish a connection and link with God Almighty, merely coming into the Pledge of Allegiance of the Promised Messiah, known be peace, and performing a few acts of reformation is not enough. You would also need to seek help from God Almighty, to submit to Him, and to dedicatedly worship to Him. Where you make practical efforts and you have attention towards repentance and forgiveness, there something of extremely great and immense importance is namaz, or prayer. God the Almighty in numerous places in the Holy Quran has drawn our attention towards the establishment of prayer. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has stated that prayer is the climax or the peak of a believer. In other words, it is such a state when a believer becomes near to God and he converses with Allah the Supreme. Therefore, if you want to protect and safeguard yourself from Satan, if you want to protect and safeguard yourself from the immoralities and obscenities of the age, then you need to protect your prayers. Allah the Almighty has mention this as a hallmark and sign of a successful believer, that he safeguards and protects his prayers. This is because inna salata tanha anil fashai wal munkar. God the Almighty states that most certainly prayer prevents and protects a person from shameless acts and immoral ways. Such a prayer that is devotedly and sincerely performed before Allah the Almighty and is carried out purely for the pleasure of Allah the Exalted. Thus, in order to protect yourself from the attacks of Satan, a great means of calling out to God Almighty is prayer. In the society of today, filled with immoral and absurd ways, there is greater need to pay heed towards this. There is also a requirement to be vigilant and supervise children, that they also offer their prayer. However, before we remind children and youngsters, elders also need to offer their prayers and need to self-reflect. Where Allah the Almighty says, يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ, that offer their prayer, this actually means that prayer is carried out in congregation and given heed towards. I have seen that with the change in weather and seasons, when the clock is moved back and the nights become shorter, then the attendance in the Fajr prayer becomes less. Recently, when the clock had not completely moved back and the prayer was up till 5 o'clock, the attendance at Fajr started to decline. Now that the clock has moved forward an hour, the attendance has improved somewhat at Fajr, or sometimes on Friday, the attendance improves. The time for Fajr is going to go back even further, so therefore there is great need to pay attention to this matter. If there is slackness due to the time becoming earlier, this would not be appropriate for an Ahmadi. Therefore, I am alerting everyone in good time that alongside the change in timings, there should not be a decline in the attendance for Fajr prayers. Office holders in particular, in relation to offering the congregational prayers, should not display slackness, because often there is great slackness shown from them. If only the office holders rectify their attendance, and office holders at every level and in every organization and sub-organization start coming to the mosque for the congregational prayers, then it will enlighten and populate the mosques. This will also leave an impression and an impact upon the children and youngster who will be inclined towards coming to the mosque. We should always remember that a person does not attain status due to holding an office. Perhaps an office holder may seem to have a status in front of the public or in front of the world, but the actual fact and reality is attaining the love of Allah the Almighty. This can be obtained, as the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has expounded, that the prayer is a climax of the prayer. Thus, efforts need to be made to obtain this kind of prayer. Thus, first of all, office holders must self-reflect. Then, they must draw the attention of those under the influence of them, and also youngsters and children. Our success will truly materialize when this voice and call is heard from every direction that make efforts to establish the prayer. Otherwise, by merely holding this doctrine and belief that Jesus, peace be upon him, has died, or that no verse of the Holy Quran is abrogated, or that all prophets are innocent, or that the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, is that same Messiah and Mahdi who was prophesied. Belief in this alone will not bring us success. Our success is entailed in assimilating our practical actions and our state according to those teachings given to us by Allah the Exalted. The most important of these is to establish a relationship with Allah the Almighty through the observance of prayer. Otherwise, this claim of ours will be wrong, that we do not carry out shirk, setting up partners with God. If you do not protect your prayers, you have carried out shirk. You are setting up partners with God. Allah the Almighty has said, perform your prayer. Come to prayer. If you do not safeguard and protect your prayer, it means that there was something in replacement of prayers which you gave greater importance. So this is also shirk-i khafi, a hidden or concealed shirk, setting up partners with God. Amongst the virtuous acts that Allah the Almighty has drawn our attention towards, it is also the rights of other people. Due to worldly attractions and gains, the rights of others are usurped. At such a time, I am extremely embarrassed and ashamed when I receive letters in this regard from non-Ahmadis, that such and such Ahmadi acts fraudulently towards me in this way and usurp my rights from me. So as I stated, that this proves to be a hindrance in tabligh, in preaching efforts, and it also causes new Ahmadis to stumble and falter. Very recently, an Arab Ahmadi wrote to me that he is leaving the Jamaat. When the reason was discovered, it came to light that due to the misdeeds of certain Ahmadis, he became frustrated and developed aversion. From a doctrinal point of view, he did believe that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is true in his claim. So therefore, where it is his mistake that seeing certain Ahmadis' deeds, he became distant from the Nizami Jamaat, the system of the Jamaat, and broke off his connection. There also, Ahmadis should also reflect, amongst whom also include office holders, that if they become the means of others stumbling and faltering, what an immense sin they are committing. There is a matter that I would like to draw special attention towards. With the grace of Almighty Allah, perhaps in terms of financial sacrifices, members of the Jamaat play their full part and contribute fully. However, one aspect of financial sacrifice includes zakat. There is a need to pay heed towards this. In particular, women who have jewelry, etc., should pay heed to this. Also, those who have savings for more than a year need to pay attention to this matter. There is not as much attention as is required from Ahmadis regarding zakat. There is a proportion of people with the grace of Almighty Allah who account for every single penny, contribute to jannah and also zakat. However, there are some who believe that jannah alone is sufficient and do not give zakat. Or their finance secretaries or the secretary Maals do not raise enough awareness about this. Because of this, they are not fully familiar with the significance of zakat. So therefore, there is a great need to pay attention to this matter. In terms of reformation of your state and practical actions, this includes refraining from carrying out any vice that is mentioned in the Holy Quran and adopting all the virtues that the Holy Quran has stated. Thus, we need to always keep the following guideline and instruction of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in view, that from amongst the 700 commands of the Holy Quran, you must not disobey even one. Hence, we should always remain in the endeavor to refrain from carrying out even apparently minor and small sins. At the beginning, I read the extract of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. This is what he has drawn attention towards. That do not presume that carrying out minor sins are not sins, which apparently people cannot observe you carrying out. You need to realize these minor sins using your microscopic eye of discernment and insight. Search for those minor sins yourself, self-reflect, then you will discover that in reality these are sins. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has given the example of pretense and showing off. Now often, nobody will notice if somebody is acting pretentiously. A person knows himself if he self-reflects whether the deed or work he's carrying out is to show off in front of the world or is for the sake of God the Exalted. If a person is aware that my every deed, my every action should be for the sake of acquiring the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, and it is only then that I will receive reward. Only when he discerns this, he will make true efforts to perform virtuous deeds. It is then that he will always remain in the search that I should ascertain how to perform virtuous deeds and should actually practice them. When he achieves this, then neither will pretense and artificiality materialize and nor will other vices. Similarly, the Holy Quran commands kindness and good treatment of relatives. This first of all includes your parents, your wife and your children. In this same connection, I would like to draw attention towards a certain aspect, that the level of tolerance in men and women is extremely low. Whereas Allah the Almighty has especially emphasized adopting tolerance and patience. Due to the low levels of endurance and tolerance, The numbers of marriages and relationships breaking up are increasing. And nobody is concerned what effect this will have upon those who have children. So thus, from both sides, there is a shortcoming in taqwa, righteousness, and the fear of Allah, and this demonstrates the weakness in a practical state and condition. Every Ahmadi must also be concerned and take care that our truth will only be manifest upon others when in every matter we exuberate truthfulness ourselves. If in our personal matters, if in our vested interests, our attitude is a selfish one, then after coming into the bed, the Pledge of Allegiance, we would not be living up to our pledge to carry out practical reformation. The Holy Quran states that if for the sake of upholding truth and justice, you have to bear witness even against yourself, your parents, or even your close ones, then do so. However, if practically the way we act and our behavior is contrary to this, then what revolution can we possibly bring about? For the sake of upholding justice, I often give the reference to this commandment of the Holy Quran to non-Ahmadis and non-Muslims. And I pledge that it is Jamaat Ahmadiyya alone that treads on the true teachings of Islam. But if in the experience of a non-Ahmadi, certain Ahmadis act in contradiction to this, then what impact will my words have upon them? These kind of Ahmadis are proving to be stumbling blocks in the way of our tabligh, our preaching efforts. So therefore we need to self-reflect, we need to self-account. Similarly, there are numerous commands of the Holy Quran. So therefore our practical reformation will only be complete when, in every way, in every perspective, we analyze our own selves, we observe what our shortcomings are. When we carry out our practical reformation, we can then realize that we have done full justice to the bed, the Pledge of Allegiance of the Promised Messiah on whom be peace. Otherwise, merely believing in the Promised Messiah on whom be peace, accepting all his claims to be true, we would only believe in one part, but we would have left another part which is of extremely great importance. Thus, as I stated, it is essential to act upon even the smallest acts of virtue. A person is not aware what is a minor virtue for him and what is a major virtue from him. It is established from Ahadith that for one person a virtue may be small and for another person that virtue may be great or important. Or the definition of a virtue is different for different people. For example, upon the inquiry of a Sahabi, a companion of the Holy Prophet, he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, what is the highest virtue? The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, Jihad fi sabilillah, striving in the way of Allah. Then, on another occasion, another Sahabi or companion inquired that what is the greatest virtue. The Holy Prophet ﷺ replied, serving your mother and father or your parents. On yet a third occasion, upon the inquiry of a third companion who said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah ﷺ, what is the greatest act of good? It is to perform the Tahajjud prayer, replied the Prophet ﷺ. Thus, in this way, different people were reminded towards different aspects and matters. Therefore, high acts of virtue and goodness are not limited to just three. Thus, the Holy Prophet must have drawn attention to other people according to their weaknesses. And for every person, there is one greatest act of virtue. So, in accordance to the Holy Prophet ﷺ, the greatest act of virtue or goodness is that act which is lacking. Thus, if somebody is not serving his parents or being kind to them, if he is not fulfilling the right of his children, for him, serving the faith is not the highest act of virtue. It is possible he is carrying out that service for personal gains or to raise his status. So therefore, such people whose household are not happy with their behavior and actions and are acting as office holders, to acquire the blessings of the service of the faith that they are carrying out, they also need to give the rights to their parents, their wives, and their children. If a person is very regular in giving chanda but is slack in offering prayer and a voluntary prayer, for him, the act of virtue is offering prayer and offering the voluntary prayer. Similarly, there are many acts of virtue which are ordinary for one person before another are extremely large and important. Therefore, there is no generic list of acts of virtue and vices. The example of pretense and exuberance that the promised Messiah alayhi salam has provided, that they are small sins, this is also what is meant here. That something which seems apparently small becomes a major sin. Performing prayer is a great act of virtue and is a means of attaining nearness to Allah the Almighty. It is a climax of the faith. But the prayers of one who prays merely to show off are not accepted, rather that rebounds upon him. Similarly, if there is a person who is regular in the prayer but usurps the rights of others, that prayer is not an act of virtue for him. In fact, it would be better that first he provided others with their rights and then he offered the prayer and obtained the blessings from it. The extract of the promised Messiah alayhi salam that I read out, where he mentions the pillars of Islam, fasting is also one of those pillars. In Ramadan, Muslims pay special attention and safeguard fasting, but many of those who fast are such, who despite holding fast, they lie, they abuse, they backbite, etc., etc. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that one who observes fast and carries out all these vices in the eyes of Allah the Almighty has not actually held fast. So therefore the blessings of his fasting goes in vain. So the actual matter is those actions must be fashioned in such a way that Allah the Almighty has inculcated us. Thus every step we take in our lives must be done with utmost care and consideration. The pleasure of Allah the Almighty must always take precedence. Doctrines and beliefs must be strengthened, but also actions must be rectified and reformed to such an extent that the world observes the difference between Ahmadis and others. So we need to pay special attention and give care towards the matter, that we must safeguard and protect ourselves from all vices. We must adopt all acts of virtue so that practically we can inculcate a revolution within, and so that we become a model and example for youngsters, so that we become an example for the children, so that we become an example in our homes for our wives and children, so that we become an example for our work colleagues. In our practical state, every elder and youngster should acquire that standard and level where the seed of every vice is entirely uprooted from every single one of us. The roots entirely are cut off. If from amongst the members of the Jamaat, every single person does not strive to carry out full reformation, then there will always remain some seed of vice somewhere in the Jamaat. And wherever the opportunity arises, that seed will sprout. So thus, every single one of us needs to completely uproot all seeds of vice in us. It is only then that we can eliminate all vices from the Jamaat and become a true depiction of self-reformation. Allah the Exalted will then also show us scenes of victory and success, and our prayers will also be accepted, inshallah, God enabling. We will attain nearness to Allah the Almighty. May Allah the Almighty grant us the ability to achieve this.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.